Hi, this is Claire, one of your mum mates. Just here to remind you that you're not alone. Yes, it's tough, but you're doing far better than you think. Now, I know you're a mum, but you're important too. And if you're feeling like you don't know who you are anymore or find yourself craving a new chapter after having kids, I'm here to help you. Oh, and tell your mum mates, this might just help them too. Hello, lovely. I have just come off Alive with Ruth. Ruth Bradford, you may recognise her. She is the author and designer of children's books, The Little Black and White Book Project. So she creates the most beautiful board books, flashcards, all sorts of gift ideas for babies using high contrast images. And in fact, you know what? I'm going to correct myself there. I've said for babies, actually it's not. And she even talks about that it's not just for babies, it's for older children as well. I love these. I have used them with my own children. I gift them to others when they have children. I think they're such a brilliant product and you can get so much use out of them as well. They really are brilliant. Well, Ruth is the genius behind those. And I just love her attitude towards motherhood, towards building a business, and this whole permission to press pause. You are allowed to have dishes in the sink when you're working really hard on a project that you're passionate about. You are allowed to let your baby sleep on you. If it's not a problem for you, then let it happen. And I thought she was refreshing, really refreshing to hear around motherhood, around building a business. It was just, yeah, it was such a great chat. I think it was our longest one so far. We like to chat. I've known Ruth for a long time now. She's a dear friend of mine. And I hope you enjoy this chat. I think you'll find it really motivating and really very inspiring. All right, enjoy. Good morning. Look who I'm talking to today. This is it number four now? I think it might be. Number four of Hooray Her New Chapter, where I am having conversations, not interviews. I don't like using the word interview. It sounds very formal, doesn't it? We're having conversation, a couple in a conversation with incredible women, basically, who have started some sort of new chapter, whatever that might look like. And I'm chatting with Ruth this morning. Ruth is the author and designer of these gorgeous high contrast board books, flashcards. What else does she do? Calendars. She does all sorts. So I'm so excited to talk to Ruth this morning. She's a good friend of mine. Oh, she's on. Let's get started. View request. Come on. So I hope you've got a cuppa. I've actually drunk mine already. Confession. Do you like my new little neon light for my... I need to stick it up so it works better. Oh, no. It says that she's declined my call. Ruth. How rude. It's a good job, I know, isn't it? Good morning. So yes, really looking forward to chatting to Ruth, who is going to leave us feeling inspired. Hello.
Hello.
It said you declined my call. I know.
I'm such a Luddite with doing lives and stuff, press one button.
It's all fun and games, isn't it? How are you? Yeah, are you okay?
Thanks, how are you?
Yeah, good. I meant to share it the other day, a screenshot of our messages, because it was like voice note. So Ruth and I used to live, anyone that doesn't know, I used to live in Bristol, and Ruth and I got to know each other because we were both running small businesses in Bristol. And since then, I'm very lucky that we've kept in contact, we've kept up our friendship, and we basically just voice note each other, moaning about work or moaning about mum life, aren't we? I love it.
Yeah, no, it's been brilliant. I really miss our catch-ups in Bristol. It was always so nice because we were similar stages of business and similar ages of kids, and it was just... Yeah, it always felt so much lighter having met up and had that chat and just talked about, I don't know, ways to deal with stuff. And I really miss those, but I'm really grateful that we've kept in touch.
I do. One day I will do it. Because, we used to find coffee shop. I actually remember the first time we met and you brought your little one. I brought Mace, who was tiny, and I think we just kept throwing toys at them so that we could like chat, didn't we? We were talking 100 miles an hour, and it's just lovely. So, before we get stuck in, thank you very much for doing this, Ruth. I really appreciate it. And I know I get so, I think that, I don't know, like a
I think so many people have a secret desire to write or create some sort of book, whatever that might look like. So the fact that you did it and now running this incredible business around it. So would you mind introducing yourself and then we'll get stuck into having a chat?
Okay. So as you've already said, I'm Ruth Bradford. I am the creator and founder of the Little Black and White Book Project. And I create high contrast black and white sensory gifts for babies, but with a slight twist in that they're designed, the idea is they're supposed to last all through the early years. So everything that I do is from birth, but it hopefully will last up to preschool. So it hits lots of different milestones because sensory play never really stops being beneficial. Yeah. So a lot of the black and white resources are very much for the first 5 months when it's best for eyesight. But you know, in a very wasteful world, I didn't want to just do that. So everything is from birth up to preschool and beyond, hopefully inspiring small children about amazing wildlife, introducing lots of animals that they might not have seen before, but also giving parents tools that allow them to interact with their baby when they're very, very young, when they're not really doing much else,
yeah,
when they're frazzled, when they, you know, I think certainly it came out of my experience with my son of just not knowing how to play with a baby. So yeah, having a tool that I could just read, like with the flashcards, I've got facts on the back, and I just felt like I could hold the picture and read the content, and he could hear my voice and he could see the picture, and it just felt like I didn't have to think.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I've done was born out of part of life that I was in, the stage that I was in.
Yeah. So. Amazing. Oh, it's just, and I have genuinely, you've been very kind, you've given me things in the past, but I also buy them for gifts. Anyone who's having a baby, I just think they're the best. My nephew, who's just under one, so I bought his, you're gorgeous, you had the advent calendar, so every day they opened a new flashcard. I just love it, Ruth. It's just so nice. And like you say, it's just not, I love giving gifts. I don't know about you, but particularly someone who's had a baby, particularly that first baby, when the list of all the things that they need to buy is ridiculous. I love buying something that's actually going to be useful, actually going to get played with, not just going to be the newborn babysitter who's going to last for ages. And so I love giving your things as gifts. I just think it's so lovely. And obviously it's supporting you and your incredible business too. So would you mind? So as you know, Ruth, thank you very much for doing this. So this is all about this series that I've started that is all about just inspiring mums to start a new chapter, whatever that might look like. So for you, what was life before, like before you started up the Little Black and White Book Project?
Yes. So I, like going way back, I studied graphic design at university, and that kind of randomly led me into advertising. I sort of won this award and then found myself in the advertising world because part of the award came with a placement, and I'd never wanted to do that before. I always wanted to be like a really traditional graphic designer, mm-hmm, doing kind of corporate identity and all that kind of jazz. Found myself in this advertising agency. They didn't know what to do with me because normally creative people come with a copywriter, so you've got a writer and a designer together thinking of ideas, okay, and it's usually a team, and I didn't have that. But they were like, oh, we're not really sure what to do with you. So they stuck me in the digital department. And it was a whole male team. And I was like, straight out of uni, like 21, 22, something like that, with all these burly blokes. And they were lovely. They like became like my brothers. So I spent quite a number of years doing websites and being across all things digital. Like I remember really clearly the birth of like Facebook and Instagram, mm-hmm, you know, like, so when I started, yeah, this stuff didn't exist. Yeah. And I did that for years and years and years, and I went from full-time employment to freelance so that I could work in lots of different agencies and, okay, try different things, because I'd been with the same team for quite a while, yeah, and even when they moved, I kind of moved with my boss. So I sort of branched out on my own, took the leap of faith to go freelance, which worked out really well, and then I met my now husband, and at the time both of us, we had quite itchy feet, we'd been living in London, and we really wanted to go overseas. So we both took the plunge and moved to Singapore, as you do. Not that I'd ever been there before. And we are lucky, we have really transferable skills. So all the big advertising agencies out there, all the big law firms, mm-hmm, out there. So we did that for a bit, and we just lived the high life. And we were super, you know, footloose and fancy free, no responsibilities, living incredible life. doing kind of the stuff we love, but just traveling, seeing incredible wildlife, having amazing experiences. And expats, I don't know if anybody listening has had a taste of that world, but we found that the expats that we met and made friends with were just really positive people, and they were real doers. And I think because they'd already moved countries, they wanted to see the best in their situation. So it was just this really heady time of kind of positivity and people doing really interesting things and being really pleased for each other that they were doing them. And that was such a contrast to my London life, where everyone kind of was a bit like, oh yeah, all right for you, good for you. Kind of, there was always that slight snideness.
Yeah.
Whereas out there, it was very much like, yeah, you can do it. You can do whatever you put your mind to. And I think Singapore as a general place is like that, because it's such a young country and it's just full of appetite for making money and having experiences and building kind of empires in a way. So it kind of was like a really great experience. But then we got married, and then we stayed out there for a bit. We came back, got married here, and then went back to live. And I got pregnant, and I was freelancing there at the time. And because you're on like the visa situation, it gets quite complicated. And there's obviously no maternity benefit or anything like that, because I'm an expat and I'm on a freelance visa and all that kind of stuff. So when my son came along, that was it. It was kind of like work stops, because, and even if I'd wanted to kind of carry on at that point, I wasn't earning enough, really. At the two of us, you know, it's always that balance of who's earning the most. So it was never even a conversation. It was that I would just stop work for a while and see what happens. And it's one of those things where suddenly you go from wearing all these different hats and being all this really busy person doing all these millions of things to being like the world for this tiny little creature who's arrived. And you're like, I can't cope with this. This is like, my world has become like teeny tiny all of a sudden. And I don't have the skill and I just don't know what to do. And a lot of the other mums that I met had dream babies, obviously. They all slept beautifully and they all had naps.
It's always everyone else.
They were amazing. Yeah. They were all the best babies in the world. And I had this thing that would never sleep unless he was on me. And we had a tricky feeding journey. And I just felt like, everywhere we went, he didn't like other children. He didn't like to be around other babies. So we'd be the ones in the corridor whilst he was screaming, whilst everyone else was doing a nice baby group. And so I just felt really like, I've just utterly lost myself. Yeah. And then I'd researched about all the black and white stuff. And in that weird kind of like, I need to do something.
Yeah.
Why don't I do this? And it just kind of was like, he would sleep in a sling. I would sit at my laptop on one of those bouncy yoga balls.
Yeah.
So he would be like sleeping. I couldn't stop moving because he'd wake up. And it was just a challenge to keep him asleep as long as possible so I could like build a website or do some social media or, you know, whatever it was I needed to do.
Yeah.
And this became my routine in the sort of first year of his life, where I would draw and do whatever I needed to do for the business, and he would nap. And that was our thing.
Yeah.
We were kind of like this little team.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a really long.
No, it's amazing. But do you know what? There's so much in there, Ruth, that I think so many of us could relate to. Not quite maybe moving to Singapore and living the high life. I seem to have missed that chapter of my life. Maybe that's coming later. Yeah. Maybe I get that once my children have grown up. But I love that. It's really interesting to hear that. And the positivity that you experienced as well. And people genuinely rooting for each other, I think, can be really missed. And then, like you also say, something else that really stuck out for me is saying that all of a sudden you went from wearing loads of hats, being very busy, to all your world just shrinking down and having this tiny thing who is completely dependent on you. And like you say, you feel isolated and you can really lose yourself. And I imagine so many people watching this have also felt the same. You have to let us know if you felt the same, because I certainly did. After every single one of my babies, it's almost like, it's that.
Like starting again.
It is starting again. Yeah. And it's something being so dependent on you. And I can relate to that so much, that whole, just the shift of your world as well. Like you say, all of a sudden you've got this tiny baby that needs so much from you. But also brilliant that you were able to then realize that you needed more, that you needed something for you as well, that you needed something that sort of gave you a spark whilst being mum. And actually that's allowed.
Yes.
That's something I've struggled to understand for a long, long time. It was, I felt like when I had my baby, I had to be, it was almost a badge of honor to be exhausted and tired and completely and utterly focused on them. And, you know, forget about me, you're the important one. And I always thought that was how to be a good mum, until I learned that no, actually, it's allowed, you're allowed to be mum and mum and something else, mum and more. And you were able to, and that's why I started Play Hooray in the end, because I was like, I need something to think about other than being mum. I'd gone from working in a school to suddenly, yeah, you're just no conversation. And, you know, people used to come and ask my opinion. All of a sudden it's not happening. And it's that sort of, it's such a shift, isn't it? That finding your spark again, finding something from you, just makes you feel like, makes you feel human again.
It does. It makes,
and makes you feel like a little bit like you again. Yeah. So that's amazing. So good for you. So how did you, it's like you're saying, and I've done it, I've been there, when you're starting new business, there's so much to do, isn't there? Mm-hmm. How did you keep going? You said your little one didn't sleep, Mason, my eldest, he didn't sleep. How did you keep going? You know, you needed to keep moving, but you were building a website, you're doing all those. How did you keep doing it on those days when you were exhausted? How did you find that motivation? Because I think people really struggle with that when your energy levels are low, because we know it impacts, you know, if you're not sleeping, it's hard to eat right, it's hard to look after yourself and all that. To then also build a business on top of that, how did you keep going, Ruth? Yeah.
To be honest, at the time, like thinking back, it's just so hard to remember, isn't it? It's all quite blurry. And I think you just sort of dig deep. And I think I just cared about it so much. And it excited me that people were interested and that they actually wanted what I was selling. And so a lot of motivation came from outside, in that I didn't want to let people down. And I really wanted to make a success of it. But I also, it was like that little, I don't know, I guess there is just something in me, because I'm a very creative person, that it was just this little spark. And so even when I was absolutely exhausted, you know, I could still work on my phone. So if we were going for a walk whilst Teddy napped, you know, I could still do stuff on my phone, thank goodness for iPhones and stuff like that. And I looking back, I have no idea how I kept going through those moments of just pure exhaustion. I think I was lucky that I could just step away from it if I needed to. Like, it wasn't at a stage where it was like, go. And I think there's a lot of noise around business being this, you have to be working 14 hour days to make it a success.
Hustle.
You have to be pulling
all
nighters. Don't stop.
Yeah.
And you know what I've learned after 7 years is that if you have a day off, no one notices. No one cares.
Yes.
Literally, the world does not stop.
Yes.
You, nothing happens at all.
Yeah.
So you can just pause when you need to pause. And a lot of the time I would just be really honest and say, oh, I'm sorry, I haven't got back to you. We've had a terrible, you know, I've got a newborn baby. Or I would just fess up. I wouldn't try and hide behind being a superwoman. I would just be like, this is the stage of life I'm at, and this is like why it's so sporadic. Or I would just own it. Now, in the last couple of years, actually, since, so I have my second baby, she's three now, and when she came along, it was different again. And I found it really frustrating, because the business was in this stage where I really wanted to push it, and I couldn't, because I had no time. And she was an epically long feeder. So again, it was like trying to work on my phone whilst I was feeding her and stuff like that. But what I started doing was, rather than writing a list of things I wanted to do and being really disheartened when I didn't do any of them, I bought myself a cruddy little diary from the post office. And every day I'd just write down in minute detail what I'd done. So even if that was literally, I did a Instagram post, I replied to an email, and I drew an animal or something, like, you know, and we're talking really minuscule actions. But what I noticed was, if I did that every day, even if there's only one thing in the day that I managed to do was for the business, I could look back on the week and go, I've actually been quite productive, even though I feel like I haven't.
Yeah.
You get to the end of the week, and you're like, oh, I've not done anything, it's been rubbish, it's been this, it's that, and the negative talk so outweighs the positive talk. But I think if you can look at something physical and go, actually, they were micro steps, but I'm like a whole pace ahead of where I was last week. And yeah. So all of those little things add up. And I think just seeing it in black and white now, and I still do it, it just really helps me on those weeks or days where I feel like life's got in the way and the kids have got in the way, and there's just been this thing after thing after thing that's stopped me from working. Because I have hardly any time whilst JC's in nursery. But I can just see it in black and white, and I can go, do you know what? Today I did one thing that made my business move that tiny step forward that I didn't do yesterday. And that just makes me go, okay, I'm not wasting my time.
I love that. That, do you know what, that's such a good tip, because that quite often we almost imagine in our head that progress is, particularly with building a business, isn't it, we get so, you know where the end goal is and it just feels so fine, you've got so much to do to get there, but actually those tiny steps, they do actually build up. And this reminds me of a story of my dad, and it's a tip that he gave me. So years ago, when we bought our first house in Bristol, we had a little terrace house and we decided to renovate it with absolutely no experience of DIY. It was all YouTube videos. And we completely renovated the whole entire house. And his tip to us was, every night, you know, I was teaching at the time, full time, I'd get in from work, I'd be absolutely exhausted. But he used to say, you know, just try and every evening do a 10-minute job, just a tiny little 10-minute job. And it was such good advice, because what we noticed was quite often it would be just by getting in that mindset of I'm just going to do 5-10 minutes of painting that one skirting board or doing this, that actually more often than not you do that one skirting board and you'd maybe be like, oh well, now I've got the paintbrush out, I'll just do a little bit more, and you sort of get in that mindset, and it's almost, it was such a good motivator. Instead of thinking like, oh, we need to decorate the whole room, we need to get all this done, it almost gave us permission to just do 10 minutes at night. And then the progress of the following weekend, realizing that actually you did achieve loads, you did all the skirting boards and all the coving and all that stuff. And it was amazing, those tiny little jobs, just 10 minutes every day, they snowballed, and eventually you could see the progress that you were making in the room. And it was just such useful advice. And I found it now, particularly with building a business, that there are some days, and like you say, you're exhausted and life is so full on. But I think, do you know what, I'll just answer that one email. Well, actually, more often than not, once I'm on the laptop, I think, well, while I'm here now and I can just do this, that and the other. And it does, it snowballs and it motivates you. But I think, I love that idea of getting the diary, or even like you could even do it on your phone, couldn't you? Because like you say, I'm the same. I make sure I can run as much as my business on my phone. And just being able to jot down a little list, or that sort of just realising that you are making achievements on top of raising children. You know, let's not forget about that bit as well, that massive thing of like, it's on top of raising children, which is already incredibly hard. So hats off, Rue.
Do you know, I used to do it as well when Josie was really little. I wasn't doing it for the business, but I got in the habit of doing it just for life, because I felt like I was just vegetating a bit, because there were these long feeds and I just felt like I was failing. I was failing my eldest, I was failing in the house, I was failing at everything. And it just felt like, actually, I'm not, because you know, I did empty the dishwasher today, and I did manage to put the clothes away, and I did put a load of laundry on. And so actually I did start putting down for a little while, just to get me through like a really kind of difficult time.
Yeah.
You know, and again, really minute detail, because it made me realize how much goes into life in general, because I think there's so much that washes over us that we're doing on kind of autopilot. And then when you have a baby, everything stops, and all of a sudden everything feels like this mountain. And it just it really helped me find a little bit of motivation because it made me feel less of a failure. So I think it's just such, like with your painting and your decorating and me with the business and then with having a baby, I think it's just such a good exercise to do. Whatever you're doing, you can apply it to literally anything that you want to see a little bit of progress in or that you want to give yourself a pat on the back for.
Yes.
You can apply that kind of technique and it's just such a nice way of just crediting yourself in daily life, so that when you feel like you're doing nothing, it's like, hang on a minute, if your friend came over, they would go, hang on a minute, no you haven't, you've done blah 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 blah. So you're just doing that for yourself, you're being your own friend by writing it down.
Yes, I love that. And I think that's something I've spoken so much about recently, about this. I think quite often we get, as mums, we get stuck, we get frustrated, we get resentful and just feel a little bit unseen sometimes, like you say, when you are caring for young children, and that craving of, I need something else, I need a new chapter, whatever that might look like. Starting a book business might be teaching yourself gardening. I don't know. It could be, you know, I always say, you know, your new chapter could be anything, going on self-development, discovering yourself again, whatever your new chapter is going to look like. And I think quite often it feels like it needs to be drastic, and it's going to be these massive, you need to make these massive changes in your life. Actually, it's not. It's just like you say, it's those tiny little things that you do each day that builds up and snowballs and helps you to make progress, that you don't need to up and move to Singapore like someone did. Actually, it could just be those tiny little things of, right, I want to take up painting. Okay, I'm just going to have a look around, or I'm just going to buy, I'll order some paintbrushes online. It's just that little step that moves you forward and is actually making you progress. Even though it feels tiny, it's moving you to where you want to go. So it really does help. So yeah, I absolutely love that. And it reminds me as well, Ruth, last week I kept my little one off preschool just because he's not being very well. And I did that, and so I was like, right, okay, here we go, we're back in survival mode. It was almost like the newborn times. He was ill, so he wanted to be cuddled all the time. He napped on me, which we've not done for months. And baby number three, you know, it's not very often we sit and just have those cuddles. But I was like, right, we're back in newborn stage. So what advice would my friend give to me? She would say, okay, you need to look after yourself. You need to be sleeping. You need to be eating healthy. You need to, anything, work, it all needs to go on. This is your priority now. Everything needs to go on hold. So I did that. I emailed, my accountants were wanting something from me, and I emailed the situation, and they said, absolutely fine, that's no problem. We're not under a time restriction. We can wait. Let us know when you're, and it was just that, okay, oh, relief. You know, it was permission that the work can wait, and permission to look after myself. And it, yeah, it's really trying to get in the habit of thinking back to, okay, we're in survival mode, and survival mode can be any stage, can't it? You know, it can be whatever's being thrown at you. There are some weeks when it feels like everything has to stop and the children have to become priority, or you need to become priority if you're unwell, or whatever it might be. And it's just remembering that, okay, I need to look after myself. You know, let's go back to basics. Have I drunk enough water? Have I been out in the sunshine? You know, let's go really back to basics. Yeah. So Ruth, anyone else who is resonating with our story of being exhausted and tired and craving that newness, that new chapter, whatever that might look like. I imagine before you started actually printing out and selling your books, what was that transition like? The actual, okay, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to launch. Because you must have, there must have been moments where you doubted yourself, or did you feel like you knew, you know what I mean? Yeah. What was, how did you overcome the quite daunting feeling of starting a business? Because it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I'm probably a little bit of an anomaly in that I jump in feet first. I'm a real kind of do first, think later. And then and there have been many occasions where that's massively caught me out and burned me. But yeah, it's a funny one. Like, I used to be the most nervous kid and super shy, super kind of not confident at all. But I think, and I've been really thinking about this because I knew we were chatting about it, looking back on the amount of times I've reinvented myself. And each time it's sort of given me confidence, because it's brought me, I think I've just been a really slow developer through life. And as I've got older, I've just got happier and I found my place in the world. Mm. And it probably wasn't until we were on the verge of going to Singapore that I really felt like, this is me.
Okay.
If that makes sense. So, and I was like 27 by then. And I just kind of had this rocky road through friendships and work and figuring out what I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. And it had changed so many times, and I'd been around good people and bad people. And then, yeah, I think because I'd taken some quite big plunges, like in that I decided to go freelance, which was a risk. I decided to move countries, which was a risk. I decided to, you know, trying to get a job in another country was a risk. And then going freelance in that other country was a risk. That actually, by the time I came to do the business, it was like, well, this doesn't matter if it doesn't work. Like, there's nothing riding on it. Whereas there was a lot riding on all of those things. And I think, and maybe it was hormones. It probably was a lot of hormones at the time, because, you know, that stage I was in, and I just so desperately needed it for my mental health. And that it didn't really daunt me all that much. And And I originally launched it on Kickstarter, and it didn't go well. So I didn't raise the right money or anything like that. But it was a good way of really consolidating my thoughts about the business and really, you know, getting that elevator pitch and how to tell a story. And a lot of my career had been about storytelling. And so actually, even though the Kickstarter failed, it was a really valuable experience because it helped me build lots of assets quite quickly and videos and how to tell the story of what I was trying to achieve. And you know, and just in, to be brutally honest, we had disposable income because of the situation in Singapore and tax is super low and we were quite high earners and stuff. So we had a little bit of cash to invest and that we were willing to put on the line. And so I think looking at all of that together, I just sort of went for it. And I'd shared the illustrations originally were only for Teddy, and then I shared them with some friends, or I printed out a few books to give as gifts, and everyone was just like, you just have to do something with it. Which then again sort of gave me that confidence. And it's that sort of heady feeling of feeling utterly sick that you're doing something that people could reject, but it's also that excitement that they might not. And it was, And for me, it's always been the excitement that takes over. So every time I start something new, and I'm a real ideas person, so I've always got, you know, like my brain just never stops. I just see opportunity and ideas everywhere. Yeah. And I never have that fear of like, but what if it doesn't work? I'm like, oh, well, we'll just see. It doesn't matter if it doesn't.
I love that, yeah.
So I know it's probably not very helpful for people who don't feel like that, because, and I'm lucky that I've got a real skill set in that, you know, that has been my career. That has been ever since I chose my GCSEs, I wanted to be a designer. And so, you know, what am I, 42 now? That's like, what, 20 odd years? No, hang on, 30 years? Oh, God, that's scary. of doing the same thing and being in that world and being immersed in it. And so I suppose if you feel really confident in your skill set, and everyone has a skill set, whether they know it or not, if you can figure out what it is that A, you're passionate about, and B, you've got a good skill in, you can make anything happen at all. Like, I was chatting to another friend recently about, she wants to potentially do a bit of consulting or something like that, or mentoring. And we were chatting, I was like, yeah, but what fires you up? What lights you up? Because if it lights you up, you'll do it. You'll make it happen.
Yeah.
If it doesn't light you up, it won't. If you're doing it because everyone else is doing it, or because that's the way business has shifted, or that's because, you know, there's all these courses out there that are telling you you should do it.
Yeah,
yeah, you can go through the motions, but are you really going to try and make it a success? Yeah. Probably not. It has to start with something you love.
Yeah.
And then you have to think, do I have the skill set? If I don't have the skill set, can I learn the skill set? Because you can learn anything you put your mind to, but is it something you feel like you're going to love?
Yeah.
Because if it is, then you can make it happen in any way, and you can find the energy and you can find the bravery.
Yeah.
But if you don't really believe in it, you won't.
I think I just
have this like quite arrogant self-belief that I can just do anything that I put my mind to, that I really believe in.
I love that, and you've reminded me of a quote that's typically just gone, but it's that if you really want to do something, you'll make it happen, and if you don't, you'll make excuses. And that always sticks out to me, and that's always worked as, to be honest, a bit of a kick up the bum, because it's like, right, why am I putting this off? Why am I not, you know, getting on and doing this? Because if I really wanted to, I'd find a way. You'll always find a way. If you really want to make something happen, you will find a way. If not, you'll find excuses not to do it. And that always sits so close to me, because when I notice that I'm putting things off, it's like, right, well, why am I putting this off? Because if I was really that dedicated. So yeah, absolutely. And I totally get, you know, when your heart's in something and it's sparking you. I think we're very similar. I did art and textiles A level, but never actually went into it. But obviously with the play and everything, I've always been quite a creative person. And I'm the same, you know, inspiration comes from everything around me. And I've constantly got some sort of book of ideas or notes open in my phone, and I'm jotting things down. And it's that spark and the excitement that even no matter how exhausted you are, you can find the energy to work on something if you're really passionate and like excited. If it lights you up, you'll find a way. There's a brilliant Maria Forleo, you might have heard of it. Everything is figure outable. And I've been teaching my son that. He's 9 now, my eldest, and he sometimes can worry about things. And I'm always like, everything is figure outable. We will figure out a way. We will always sort it. And he loves that. And I heard him say it to Leo, my 3-year-old, the other day. I was like, we'll figure it out, Leo. And I was just like, oh my goodness, I just love that. It's like, we'll find, it's that can-do attitude, isn't it? It's like, okay, I don't know how to build a website, but I'll find a way to do it. Or I don't know how to do this. And I think sometimes, actually, I think this is prompted by one of your new posts. You'll have to tell us about your new project, saying about, oh gosh, sorry, my train of thought's gone again. Doing this morning. that sort of,
You can learn anything that you can put your mind to. I think if you want to learn it, you can find a way of learning it, even if you've convinced yourself you can't, because your brain doesn't work that way, or that, you know, I'm not techie, I'm not financial, I'm not this, I'm not that. But I think we just need to talk to ourselves, kind of. And I think what's inherent in you is your ideas and your creativity, and I think everyone's got that in them. And everyone can have a good idea. It doesn't matter who you are, it's what you do with that idea. And I think what puts people off often is that they don't know, and they feel like they should know, and they're embarrassed to ask. Because everyone, you join a business group and it's like everyone knows, it's like a secret club, and everyone knows what they're doing, and it's just like no one knows what they're doing.
That was it. That's what you reminded me, is that your post the other day was saying that you don't have to have all the answers. No one's got all the answers, whether you're a parent, whether you're starting a business, no matter what it is, whatever chapter it is, don't put that pressure on yourself too. You don't need to know all the answers. You know, we are so fortunate these days with the power of the internet that you can even get in touch with whoever you want to online. You know, we have contact with so many things now, such a wealth of information, that actually you don't need to know all the answers, because you will figure it out, you will find a way. So yeah, absolutely. Also, thank you.
If no one's like watching you, if you haven't got an audience yet, then that's the best time to learn, like, because no one's watching you. So instead of feeling like mistakes, you're not building, you know, no one's interested in what you're doing, think of it as this learning curve. So I think, what's his name? The Dragon's Den guy, I forget his name, Stephen Bartlett.
Oh, yes, yeah.
His thing is that if you've got an idea for a business and you want to start a business, the first thing you do, just set up an Instagram page. You don't even have to post anything.
I saw that.
But just taking that action of, like, starting something that makes it real.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, you could have, so I've started this new account and I've got like 50 something followers, and I just don't care. I'm just putting content out and just going to figure out what resonates.
Yeah.
Because I'm passionate about what I'm posting, and I just feel like eventually I'll find that audience. And I think it's too easy to worry that no one's seeing stuff, or no one's commenting on things, or no one's liking it, and you get stuck in this kind of sort of vanity metrics spiral of, oh, well, you know, it's a failure because no one's interacting. Or you just see it as that kind of refining process that you just started.
Trial and error.
You're getting going, you're figuring out what works, and you just have to stop worrying. If no one's watching, it doesn't matter how much you mess up, right? There's real bonuses to not having a big audience, because you can just refine and refine and refine. Like, you can't, you don't go in there with like 100,000 followers with this perfect, you know, perfect reels and perfect videos and perfect posts. You know, everyone just figures it out. All the people that are doing really, really well started from zero.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I also always talk about, particularly, you know, we've got our Mum to Moneymaker course now, and this is what I talk about. It's all about showing up online to be seen as an expert in your field, whatever that is. And I always say, you know, it's so easy to, one, presume that it's going to, you know, that one reel is going to happen overnight and you're going to be massive. But actually, I always say those first 100 followers, those first 1,000 followers, those first 10,000 followers, they're following you for you. They are so invested in you. They're not following you because you've got a blue tick. They're not following you because you've got 100,000 followers. You know, that happens. And I noticed that as my account grew, I noticed there were people following me just to see what I was doing.
Yeah.
Or just because you've got a big number, it's like, oh, I'll follow these. They must be all right. And they're not, they're nowhere near as closely invested in that first 1,000 followers. Oh my goodness. They are there because they like you. They like what you're posting. They are rooting for you. They're the perfect ones to ask their advice. What do they like? Did they like that post? Why didn't it resonate with them? You know, I'm always like, get so much information out of that first 1,000 cheerleaders and see them as your cheerleaders, because it's those that will then tag their mates or tag their friends. I've just found this new girl on Instagram. She's amazing. And it's almost like the old school, isn't it? It's like that word of mouth.
Yeah.
That's going to really help you and allow you to fine tune your message, fine tune You know, we all make mistakes. I press live. I once pressed live on a new product and put the price as a zero. I don't know how I managed to do it. And I remember someone messaging me like, Claire, just to let you know, like, it's, you put it on as free. And I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know how I managed to do that. Someone's going to wipe me out of everything. But it's that, you know, you're going to make mistakes. We still all make mistakes, but you're going to make those mistakes and you can learn so much. And I know it sounds so cliche saying about, you know, you learn so much from your mistakes and all that. And a fail is a good and getting a no is a good thing. But it really is. And that first, you can do that with your first 1,000 followers. You can have a go and then get their feedback and get them to be honest and tell you. And yeah, it's just, it can make such a big, and like you're saying with your Kickstarter failed, actually, maybe you wouldn't be where you are now if it hadn't have failed. You know, it could have been a very different path for you. So
my friend said to me, because I asked a friend who I was working with, who's a super clever lady, and I was like, do you think I should just fund it myself so it looks like it's a success? So just do a bit of kind of like, you can just top it up to make it target, just so I could say like I was successfully funded on Kickstarter. Yeah. And she said to me, I can't tell you the answer, but what you need to do is say it was £1,000 I needed to put in.
Yeah.
She said, if you took that £1,000 and spent it on marketing or new product or your website or like whatever else you need to spend it on, would, what benefit would it have compared to spending £1,000 to fund your Kickstarter? Like comparatively, what can that money do for you?
Yeah.
And it was just such a great piece of advice, because it's like, I'm a real shiny object person. And so I will just start new products. Yeah. Start new stuff all the time, but I have to like really reel myself in back to that advice and go, okay, I know it's only £50 to do a run of postcards, but if I spend £50 on ads instead, would that actually get me sales rather than having to like really slog to launch something new? Or, you know, so that's just always stuck with me, that you just have to kind of not see it as a fail, see it as what can you learn. And she taught me that in that moment where it was so easy to go, no, it has to look like it's a success. It didn't. And the other thing she said to me was, the people who have backed you on Kickstarter, would they go and buy the books anyway? Like if you launched your website, would all of those people go, well, I wanted it anyway, so I'll just go and
see. Yeah.
And it was kind of the same price and stuff. And so, and that happened. And that, you know, her saying that to me just went, you know what, actually, yeah, let's forget about Kickstarter. And I think I've got a website up in about 48 hours, and pretty much everyone who backed me on Kickstarter came and bought and they didn't even buy them. Like it was like a 6 month wait or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they all pre-ordered them. And because a lot of them were people who knew me anyway, and they wanted to support me. And so they were willing to wait. They were willing to put their money behind me. They were just willing to support me. Yeah. And it didn't matter what platform I was on. And so I got so wrapped up in the Kickstarter being a success and feeling embarrassed that it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
That I'd forgotten about all these other things, and she just really helped. She's so wise, but she would just really help me see it from the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Where else could that money be spent, and what benefit would you have? And would those people follow you anyway, wherever you went?
Yeah.
And it was just like, you're right. Actually, it doesn't matter. Fail, tick, done. Put it down to experience.
She sounds like a good friend to have. Yeah. What a great friend that you need, right? Particularly at the beginning of your business journey. That rather than telling you or telling her opinion, she got you to like reflect. I love that. Ruth, I'm so conscious that time is going on and I'm eating into your precious time. So I'm just wondering, how do you do it all basically? What's the answer? So you've got your two children, you're running this amazing business, and you've then also started up the Paper Mentor as well. So from the outside, anyone looking in, and I know what you're gonna say, but it looks like you're doing it all. So how are you doing it all? And how are you looking after you when you're so busy?
I'm not doing it all at all. Our house is generally a bit of a bomb site. I'm a real kind of like leave it person, because often you can like fix a kitchen in 20 minutes, but I don't want to miss 20 minutes of like really like work time. Yeah. So I'm a real kind of like, if you walked into our house, so my work days are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I basically get like 10 till 2, which is when my youngest is at nursery. And so they're my like, I don't know, what's that, 4 hours, 3 days a week. And on those days, if you walked into a house, you'd be like, oh my goodness, you guys live like this? Because I just leave it. I shut the doors. I just block it out. It doesn't matter how many dishes there are on the side. It doesn't matter how many toys are on the floor. I'm just like, nope. Because if I was at an office job, I couldn't do this anyway, right? So I just try and block it out and go, it's pretty fixable in a really short amount of time. So I think for me, I don't worry about trying to do all of it. I go, what really matters in this moment is the kids have got what they needed. Have they got to the place they need to get to? And have they got what they needed to be there? And then what do I need to do with work? And what, because it just, I love what I do. I'm so lucky that I just love what I do so much. Yeah. And so I just prioritize it. And I find these micro moments absolutely everywhere I can. And I work on my phone loads and probably too much. And so I'm really trying to be more present and put the phone away and try and do it in blocks. But I'm very transparent with the kids, and I go, if I'm on my phone, I'm like, I'm just doing a little bit of work and then I'll be with you. So they don't just think I'm like, you know, playing on my phone or anything like that. But I think, I don't know, I think it's just, again, it comes back to what lights you up, what's important to you. My business, my work is really important to me. It's really important my kids see that I have a job, because I don't think they massively get it. They still feel like I'm just here for them 100%, which I obviously am, but I think they still don't necessarily really understand the balance of that. And they see my husband working, because he's got like hours in the day where he has to work.
So
it's important to me that they see that I love what I do, that they see they can have ideas, they can run businesses, that work doesn't look like just getting on the bus and going to the office. And my work can look like anything, it's just messy. My life's just messy. We don't have any real structure to it, in that I get up and I journal and I meditate and I, you know, none of that. It's literally, a lot of it's on the fly, a lot of it is in the moment, a lot of it is just stolen moments, because that's the life stage we're at. And I think give it another 3 or 4 years, when the youngest is in school and there's more structures to the day, I can get up and go, right, today is social media day, tomorrow is writing my emails day, Wednesday is my finance day, you know, and I can time block, and I can switch work on and off a bit more. But right now I think it's okay that it's just this roller coaster, and that it's just get through it the best you can. You find those little coping strategies, like the done diary, you know, like what have I managed to do today, keep you going. I really struggle at the moment with, because I feel like I've got to really drive the businesses, taking any time away from them. So if I say I want to go for a jog whilst the kids aren't here, in my head I'm trying to reconcile, although I know it's really important to look after myself, it's still mentally, but that's maybe an hour out of my workday. And that's where my real struggle comes in at the moment. And so I would say my self-care is the bit that falls off the most, because work at the moment is most important to me. But everything's cyclical, everything kind of comes full circle. You figure this stuff out, and right now we're just, like, I think it's just as I get older, so I'm like in my 40s now, and I'm just definitely at that point where I'm caring a lot less about a lot of things. And I'm just shedding. I'm shedding the guilt.
Freeing.
I'm shedding the kind of pressure of what should I, shouldn't I do. And I'm just going with what we need here and now and what works now. And yes, it's frustrating. Yes, I look around and go, oh, it'd be nice to live in a tidy house. But does it matter? Do the kids see that? No, they don't care. A lot of other people don't care. If mates come over, they're probably relieved that their house looks the same. Like, there's just, I think it's just learning to shed all of that outside pressure and just understanding that there's seasons to life. And that whether you like it or not, there are periods of reinvention. And so even if you haven't noticed it, every 5, 6, 10 years you do reinvent yourself, because you're in a new season of your life, and there's different things going on around you, and there's different needs in your household, and you just, I think just as you get older you just can recognize that more a bit, maybe. And so you can just let go of stuff. So there's no words of wisdom in that. There's no like magic kind of method. It's just you get through the best you can. You try and laugh at it the best you can. You try not to let it bother you the best you can. And you just, going back again to the best piece of advice that I was ever given when I had Teddy, was it's only a problem if it's a problem for you.
Oh, I'm just writing that one down.
And that is literally, so originally she said it, because he was seen as a tricky baby. And she said to me, like, if he naps on you, is that, do you care? And I was like, no, not really, because right now our priority is that he naps. And she went, well, doesn't matter then, does it? And when we switched to a bottle, because the breastfeeding journey was just really difficult, and she went, but him being fed, is that like the best thing? And I was like, yeah. And so does it matter what anyone else thinks? I was like, no, you know,
like
it's just
that.
this whole thing about if you're, you know, especially with kids, like there's so much outside advice, and it's like, if your baby never sleeps in their cot, but they're sleeping and you're okay about it, does it matter? Like, and I think you can just apply that to absolutely everything in life. Is that, is it a problem for you? No. Like, do you genuinely deep down care, or do you only care because you're worried about what someone else might think? So if there wasn't another opinion in, like, in your head, is it really a problem for you that you're just piling up dishes on the side until 5 o'clock when you can get around to doing the dishwasher? And it's not a problem.
So that's
the one thing that I've just always
Ruth, that's really refreshing. Thank you for sharing that. No, I think people are really enjoy that one. Just before, because I'm conscious of time, there was a lovely comment before, Ruth, and we missed it because we got carried away, but it was someone saying that they were using your books this morning in the classroom. So I'm just very quickly, because it was a while ago, and I just thought, I wanted to mention it to you. I'm so sorry, whoever said, whether you're still on, because we've been on. Using your books in my classroom this morning have tagged you, parent in your pocket, so you'll have to have a little look out. And I mean, that must just mean the world. Just anytime. Hearing that your books are being used. Yeah, definitely. Well, Ruth, thank you so much. Thank you for doing this morning. I think really refreshing. And I know you're saying that maybe it's not what people want to hear, but I think it is. I think I've loved your advice and just hearing your story. So thank you. And I think definitely everyone will have felt inspired or motivated, whether they're also keen to create some sort of book line or whatever it might be, just start a new chapter. So thank you so much. So just a little reminder before I let you go, these are Ruth's beautiful, the Little Black and White Book Project. If you couldn't have thought of a longer business name,
No. this is what I mean. I'm a feet first person that just went, I quite like that. I didn't think it through at all.
Yeah, every time I tag you, I'm like, I feel like I'm tagged.
My Instagram handle is terrible.
The Little Black and White Book Project, lovely Ruth, with cards, board cards, the calendars, the flashcards. You've got so many lovely things. And then also, Ruth, your new supporting people who are starting out with a business. You've got your amazing sheets with what they need to do, lots of advice on there, the paper mentor.
So if you're worried you just don't know how to start a business, but you've got a great idea, they're basically cheat sheets. So instead of going and paying for expensive advice or a coach or anything like that, you can literally just download these sheets and it will walk you through things like whether you should be a sole trader or a limited company and what those actually mean. And the same with like buying a website domain, how to get a trademark. So a lot of these things you can do yourself. They are not complicated. But if you don't even know that you need them, so it's kind of like that pre-startup level of like, what do I wish I'd been told before I started? So I've kind of taken that knowledge and gone, I'm just going to put them down on a sheet that people can look at in their own time in a really cost. I mean, they're like £3.50 a download or something like that. So they're really cost effective to just help you figure out what you don't know. If you want to start your own business or product business. And so, I'm just quite, like I say, I'm an ideas person and I'm really passionate about that, and I just would hate for anybody to not act on their idea because they feel like they don't know what to ask or where to ask it, and they feel a bit silly, or they feel like, I don't even know what to Google. Like I just don't know. And so I want to hold their hand and go, but I know and I can tell you. So
And you do know. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Ruth. It's always lovely to see you. One day when I'm passing Bristol, and I'll come down and see you, or if we go to some sort of networking event, we'll have to try and coordinate to see each other. But definitely. I'd love to see you soon. Coffee or wine, give me a shout.
Tick.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you for watching, everybody. It's really lovely of you to tune in and join us today. Thank you, Ruth. I'm gonna save this on the grid. And also, we've worked out how to turn it into a bonus section for the podcast as well. So when I release it, probably Wednesday or Thursday, Ruth, it will also be available to listen back as a podcast for anyone that's tuned in at the end and missed it. All right. Thank you, Ruth. Enjoy the rest of your day. Lovely to see you. Bye. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening today. I really hope you found it helpful, and perhaps you could share it with one of your mum mates and they might find it helpful too. Oh, and I'd love to be mum mates with you. So please sell me a selfie of you listening along. I'd love to get to chat to you. And if you could leave a review, that would be awesome. Send me a little screenshot of your review and I will send you a discount code to use on our site. Bye.